You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show.
Over there.
Is this a clean water?
Clean water. Hey guys, if you are tuning in, this is the after show for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And tonight, there's three of us here on the panel, and we welcome Giselle back. We haven't seen Giselle yet.
It feels so good to be back.
It's like your home, isn't
it? I know, the three of us.
The three amigos.
The three amigos. Well, without further ado, so we can dig into this latest episode of the Beverly Hills Housewives, let's go around the table really quickly and introduce ourselves. My name is Deanna Vaughn.
Hey everyone, it's Giselle.
Hey guys, it's Susan Hahn.
And for all you guys watching, there's a little something-something in my lap, and his name is Jax, so it's my dog. I just want to remind you guys, please download the show on iTunes. It's completely free. You don't have to pay a single thing. And also, we love it when you make your comments, whether they're good, they're bad, they're indifferent. We always read them. We reply and, you know, keep us coming, you know, with the great ratings. We were number 6 for all of AfterBuzz after shows
number
last
four.
Week.
And number 4 this week.
Yeah. And well, yeah, I thought Wait. I said number 6.
Well, we're in the top 10.
We're okay. In the top 10 for the AfterBuzz after shows. And that's all because of you guys. And we appreciate it. So please keep it coming. So let's get started with this current episode. Don't sing for your supper.
Or do.
Please don't. Please don't.
Or do.
Or do. Okay, so this episode starts off with Kim. And I'm just going to preface my comment with, we thought that Kim was, you know, doing well. We know that she's fresh out of rehab. She's getting her life back on track after being in rehab. But I have to say, it was a little strange to me, or I'm going to ask the question, do you guys feel like her behavior was a little weird? Seeing her, you know, she was with her youngest daughter, watching her get prepared for her prom. So she was very sad and, you know, how parents can get. But I thought some of her behavior was a little strange. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I think she's always been strange. She's just weird.
But, okay.
But the last season, the Kim that we got to know was never sober. She was always on something.
Exactly.
And so for that reason, she seems like she's normal, but it's only because it's the Kim that we know. For me, I definitely thought that her behavior was erratic. I thought it was very strange.
Agreed.
You know, getting up, making this whole chicken salad, this whole platter of cupcakes and all these lemonades. And you'd think that she was going to have all the parents over to take pictures, but her daughter, she just came and picked her up.
Yeah.
So that to me was, it was weird. It was very weird. At the same time, I do know that Kim, and she's been very open in saying that her job for the last, you know, what, 20-something years mm-hmm. has been to be a mom. And even if she hasn't always been the perfect mom, her life has always revolved around her kids. She's very codependent, whether it's on her kids or her job or her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And so to have her last daughter really take that big step of growing into a woman, she's having her last prom or homecoming or whatever it
yeah.
was, I could see also how a mom might be kind of going a little stir crazy because it's like, oh my gosh, wait, I'm going to be an empty nester. What am I going to do? What do I do with my life? What do I do?
Right.
Like, she doesn't need me anymore. She's growing up. She doesn't need me. What am I going
to
do?
But what does chicken salad have to do with her acting like a crazy bitch?
Well, it's just like, I thought it was strange. To your point, yes, you know, she's getting ready to see her daughter off. I know that can be an emotional thing, but like, she brings in the chicken salad while the makeup artist is doing the girl's makeup, and then we see her like mixing it up with her hand. It was just...
It was very strange.
It was really weird to me. Her behavior.
I mean, are we assuming that she's still on something? Is that where we're trying to get at?
I don't know. I just don't know, but I just thought it was odd. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
I'm throwing out
there. I think Kim is just an odd person. You know, she's kind of off, you know?
But is she kind of off because of her past issues?
Who knows? I never knew Kim before or during, you know, like her sobriety. We've only seen her as, sorry to say, but drunk Kim or intoxicated Kim. And so we don't know. Yeah. For me, it's hard to tell whether she's still on something or not because she's just so odd. She's just
We have seen a little bit of sober Kim because I don't know if you remember the reunion last season. Andy visited her at rehab and she was definitely sober at that point. And she was very calm. She was a lot more reserved. And I will say that, you know, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but her behavior was very strange. Even when she got into the limo with Adrian and Paul, she was just... It's like she always has all of these things to say, this huge ramble of things to say, as if she's already getting defensive about something when she hasn't been accused of anything. It's just the way that it comes off is a little suspicious. And I hope she's doing well and we'll have to see how it pans out, I guess.
Yeah, I do think time will tell, but... In that same vein, as we talk about the kids growing up and Kim seeing her daughter off to prom, in the next scene, we see Kyle teaching her daughter Alexa how to drive. And all I have to say is, must be nice to learn how to drive in a Porsche.
Oh, yeah. Right? I was driving in Beverly Hills the other day, and I see one of those cars, you know, with, like, the student driver warning sticker on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Benz.
Yeah. Mercedes.
Shut up. Really?
No joke. I learned how to drive in, like, this little Chevy beat-up coupe car, not a Benz. Hi, Jax.
I mean, that's the 90210 for you. What are you going to do? Can't hate like, for them living in this zip code that's so like, prestigious,
damn,
you know?
She's learning how to drive in a Porsche.
Well, it was either that or her Mercedes, and I guess Kyle decided let's just damage the Porsche, if anything.
I guess, but I was just like, whew, these Beverly Hills children.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the little Pontiac light blue Sunbird that I learned how to drive.
That's
but anyway.
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, darling.
Exactly. Darling. Okay, it's time to talk about the hostess with the mostest.
Wait, but did you guys know their house is 12,000 square feet? In case you guys missed it.
Say it one more time. How many square feet is
12,000?
Did you also know that they're friends with Barbara Streisand
and Oprah
and Oprah and Kenny G and
Kenny well, I, you know what I thought was really funny is first of all the name dropping, but then when Yolanda was talking to the infamous butler, which we'll get to that soon, she was just saying, "Oh well, when are you gonna crack that bottle of wine that Oprah sent you?" I'm like, "Really, you guys? Come on! You're married to David Foster."
I was a little surprised to find out that they've only been married for a year,
two years.
No, they're.
They're celebrating their two-year anniversary soon. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, she was just in Tokyo last week celebrating their one-year anniversary. I think he proposed to her two New Year's ago.
Oh, okay.
But they've only been married for one. So I was like, oh, so this is a new marriage. No wonder they're all in love and all.
But they've been together for longer than that because I want to say, and we can maybe double check on this. I don't know how we would do that, but I want to say that he's been writing her love letters for 5 or 6 years.
Mm.
Didn't he say that?
Well, he did. David Foster did mention how they met. And they met because he's friends with Muhammad. Like, how awkward is that? But here's what I thought was interesting. He made the comment that he was a bachelor because we know that he's had previous marriages in the past.
Three.
He made the comment, and I don't know if he was joking, but he said that he was going to move in with Muhammad.
Yeah.
I mean, I know these men have, like, crazy mansions and shit like that, but he mentioned he was going to move in with Muhammad, and then he saw the picture on the wall. Do we think he was being for real? Like, two grown men, and they're moving in together?
I don't know, but he pulled a robbery on his friend. He was like, "Hey, who's that? My ex-wife. Hi, bye." You know, and then he was like, "This is like an Arab," or what he says, something like, "It's an Arabic thing. It's a human nature thing."
Yeah.
For your homie's ex. That's just like, that's not cool.
A little strange. Yeah. Double dipping there.
And
so we're assuming they're not homies anymore, right?
Well, no, I kind of feel, well, I don't know. That's a good question.
Muhammad's remarried too. Mm-hmm.
Was he remarried or was that his girlfriend?
Oh, you're right. Girlfriend. She's very young though.
Yeah, very young.
Yeah, I think he likes the pretty ladies. He likes the pretty young women. So we can all agree on that. But so let's talk about Yolanda and just her, you know, being the hostess with the Moses. Clearly she doesn't work, you know. I mean, who would need to work with being married to David Foster and whatnot? And she prides herself on, you know, keeping a wonderful home and all that good stuff. Do you kind of feel like she's a little stuck up?
Oh, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she is. She's very confident. She has this beautiful house. She has these beautiful daughters. I mean, does she do it a little too over the top?
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as, say, oh, shoot, I'm blanking on the name. The $20,000 sunglasses. Look at my friend Dana. Look at my balance. Dana.
Dana, uh-huh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
She, I mean, I don't know. For it doesn't particularly bother me.
But I don't think that Dana was stuck up. I think she was just... there's a difference in being stuck up, which we're kind of leaning towards Yolanda being stuck up. And then there's Dana, who's just like, these are $25,000, as in, like, she's just a dumb bitch because it doesn't even look like it's $25,000. You know what I mean?
Do you know what, though? The thing with Yolanda is that I think she just has the new housewife syndrome.
Mm.
This is what we see with a lot of the new housewives, whether it's Heather Dubrow on the Real Housewives of Orange County mm-hmm. or Melissa Gorga on, you know, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. When they first come, they want to pretend like, oh, we've never watched the Real Housewives before. Mm, we don't know how
true.
Trashy they get. Oh, we don't get drunk. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to play it for the camera like I'm the best housewife ever. But at the end of the day, you sign up for a reality show.
So do
we think that Yolanda's playing to the cameras or if this is who she really is?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Because she does seem like she plays the role of the trophy wife and she likes that role. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll see more of her come out. Is she going to be the one like Taylor Armstrong who word vomits when she drinks too much? No, but I think she will be the one that puts someone in their place if they overstep a weak spot for her.
Got it. All right. Mm. Okay. Now let's talk about this.
But she's very hot. Like
she's gorgeous. She's a gorgeous
and
woman. She's aged very well.
Yeah.
However old she is, she looks amazing. Her body's
in person,
tight.
She's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, I mean, I'm excited to get to know her a little bit better.
She's the babe. So let's talk about this dinner party. First of all, here's what I want to know. Is there a shortage of butlers in Beverly Hills? Because the same man is like, you know, he's making his rounds.
I mean, at butler
Camille's.
Needs to eat too, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
He does. I mean, he was at Muhammad's, he was at Camille's, and now he was at Yolanda's.
I don't think he's a personal butler, whereas in he is to someone's residence, he's a floating butler.
He's freelance.
I mean, it said butler / caterer.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs to make money, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to be a good butler.
Right.
And that's mm-hmm. why these prestigious, you know, people in Beverly Hills uses him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I thought was really funny is when Kyle, like, came to the house for the party, she's like, God, where do I know you from? And then it hit her that it was Camille's. And then it was like,
the dinner party from hell.
The dinner party from hell. You know, is he a spy? Like, you know, and then everybody else started to kind of recollect this guy.
And now you were giving Kyle so much prop last week, and you were like, oh my gosh, she's changed so much. She doesn't want to even uh-huh. engage in the gossip. Now, the butler drama, that's old Kyle right there.
Well,
trying to be like, oh my God, is he a spy? Like, who cares?
See, I didn't see that as drama. I just thought, I saw that as her being a little funny and lighthearted. I didn't see that as her trying to make something
drama,
of nothing.
But I just, yeah, it's something out of nothing, which is kind of drama, which is, who cares? I mean, no, he's not a spy. Yes, he worked at at Camille's Grammar residence.
Yeah.
At Muhammad's house, and now here, it's like...
But it is, that's a big coincidence. Come
or,
on.
You know, maybe he has something to do with Bravo. I mean, I don't... Like I said, he needs to eat cheese. My goodness. And actually...
And they have to save money, too. They can't have someone who's working around the clock. They already have probably housekeepers and nannies,
etc. All right, confession. He's also my butler, bitches. I mean, he has to eat, right? He needs to make a living.
Oh, Susan has a British bloke in her home serving her food.
I was surprised that Kyle didn't get down and do the splits during the song and dance.
All right, you guys, it looks like we have a caller.
Hello.
Wow.
Hi.
Who are we speaking to?
I don't know if you guys are going to remember me. I called for part 3 of the New Jersey Housewives.
Hi! Yes! Wait, you live in Arizona, right?
A college student.
Joanne.
Hey.
Tell us your name again.
Joanne.
Hey, Joanne. So what did you think of this last episode?
I thought it was very interesting, especially seeing Taylor drunk and acting a hot mess.
Ooh, child, we haven't gotten there yet, but yes, speak on.
If you're invited to someone's party, even if they're doing something that you may not like, you don't need to be vocal about it and rude about it and, like, saying, really, you don't want to sing, and what's this, why are we playing this sad song? And it's, and then you're talking crap about somebody else in front of everybody.
Well, do you think...
And it's just like, don't you have manners?
Well, here, let me ask you this. Do you think that, first of all, we can all agree that she had a little too much to drink, first off, because she started that inappropriate conversation with the trumpet guy about brandy yet again. Like, can we let the shit die? But second of all, do you think she was getting a little out of hand because David Foster didn't know her name? Remember when, like, he went to go hug, he called her Kyle?
I don't know. That might have had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and she was, like, she's Taylor Armstrong. Like, I mean, I know she's a real hot five, but, like, she's not that big.
She's not Oprah or Barbara.
Yeah. She was also, I'm pretty sure she was the only single woman there, too.
No, Kim, yeah. Kim was there. Kim is single.
Oh, that's Kim. Right, Kim.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, Kim was there. Mm-hmm. But I think she was a little salty because, remember, she even made a point of saying, David used to be married to my best friend. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, that's his ex-wife, not his current wife. But I think she was a little bitter because he didn't know her name. Got her mixed up.
Well, you know, that makes sense because even in last season, we saw David Foster's ex-wife, which is Brody Jenner's mother, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that makes sense that he was married to her friend.
Right.
Because it was at her friend's house when all that drama happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be, yes, maybe David not recognizing her had something to do with it, or it could be just because Taylor is a hot mess. That's
true. Yeah, she does like to drink. And the lips don't really help the slurring either.
When she does this face, it's like, I can't even.
Those lips. At first, I thought they were injections, but then when she said they were implants, I'm thinking, really?
Oof, child. Yeah. Well, here's something else. Here's another reason why maybe David, quote unquote, forgot her name is, well, actually, wait, I have to rewind for a second. I guess the whole drunken part and Yolanda calling her out for her story came after the introduction. So there goes that theory. I was going to say because maybe he knew that his wife really didn't care for her. So it could have come from that, too. You know?
I think it was an honest mistake.
Really?
I don't think he necessarily forgot her name. I mean, when you're around that many people, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, like, the names like Kyle, Tyler, Taylor kind of get me tongue twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like maybe that was just kind of one of those things, like Kyle, Taylor, they are similar boys' names.
I don't know, but, like, not 2 seconds earlier, he was just talking to Kyle. So,
well, according to editing.
True, 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 true. True.
Joanne, what did you think about Lisa and Adrian?
We haven't gotten to that, yeah.
Well, I'm on Lisa's side because I do feel like Adrian kind of attacked her in the reunion. And I mean, like, I like them both, but I think, yeah, Adrian owes her an apology, and I don't really see where the apology from Lisa's part needs to come. But they do need to, like, even I don't like, there are people I don't like, but I will, like, say hi to them.
Right.
I don't get why Paul, Adrian's husband, was getting all butthurt about. Because at first he was like, didn't he say something like, oh, if she comes to me, like, or tries to kiss me, I'll be like, no.
Exactly.
And then she didn't even go.
And then she didn't even do anything. And he was so pissed. It's like, make up your mind.
Right, right. Do you think, I mean, I think Yolanda did a good job of kind of separating, you know, just the whole seat placement, who sat where. And I thought it was really funny, too, because she's like, the tall people on this side, short people. I'm like, oh, the talls and the small. From Atlanta on Beverly Hills. But do you think it was right of Lisa and her husband not to speak to Adrian?
I mean, you could just say hello.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
That was a little tacky.
That to me is more civil.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who lives on rosé and caviar, whatever she says in the opening. I thought that was a little tacky.
You don't have to, like, hug her and hold hands and sing kumbaya. You can just say hi.
Or Amazing Grace, which they did.
What do you think of Yolanda, Joanne?
She seems pretty okay right now. I mean, I know about the whole Asian, the Chinese eyes.
Are you
comment.
Asian? Are you
that
Asian?
Kind of, that
are
was
you,
messed up.
Are you Asian?
That was. Huh?
Are you Asian?
No, I'm black.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I was so offended by that one. I was so offended. I didn't like that one.
Oh, I got a sister on the line. What else?
Oh, and do you think that Kim's crazy?
Yes.
And do you think it's because she's still on drugs, or you think that the drugs...
Okay, I felt bad for Kim in the first season, but then after the second season, I was like, okay, she really needs help. But, like, I am convinced that not only does she have a drug problem, I think she was seriously on some pills.
She was.
Or something.
Yeah. I think she admitted to being on pills. And she even, in the last season, she told Paul what pills she was on. And he said,
like, that's right, lethal.
If you combine those two, yeah, you're going to be a little woozy.
Loopy. Right. Exactly. Do you think, like, the opening scene where she was with her daughter and preparing for prom, do you think her, like, behavior was, like, just totally whacked out and strange?
Yeah, like, who is she making that chicken salad
exactly
for? Like, I know she was probably making it for them, but it was like, no one really ate it.
She didn't have anybody there. I'm like, where's the party? Where are the people? Hello?
It's like when I get a Domino's buffet and it looks like I'm having a party, but really I'm just eating my feelings.
I didn't get that. I did not get that at all. Now, okay, are we Team Yolanda or Team Taylor? So we saw in the dinner party, Taylor once again, like, bringing up the whole Brandy thing when it's just so inappropriate. Like, can we let that die?
There's nothing more ugly than a drunk woman.
Well, the thing about this whole Taylor thing is that Taylor is not quoting Brandy in verbatim. What Brandy said was, Beverly Hills is so small that everybody knows who they sleep with. And then right. Taylor took that as an I slept with everyone.
Slept with everybody in Beverly Hills.
So I'm
here all night, guys.
Drunk Giselle. So it's just, I think that's also very, you know, dumb and immature of her. But that's Taylor, you know? It's Taylor for you. Tipsy Taylor.
All right, Joanne, thank you so much for calling in. Please keep it coming. We love when you call. We love your website. You're like our fourth host today, so we love it.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I love her.
Our callers.
Thanks, Joanne.
We really do have an AfterBuzz family. I've noticed that with, you know, different shows that I've been on, and there are those super fans every single week. They tune in. They subscribe to the YouTube. They wait for that moment that it's uploaded. They comment. They call. They get so involved. And I think that's what's so great about AfterBuzz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love it. And that's why we keep doing what we're doing. So
yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Are we missing anything else?
I feel like, okay, well, here's another thing I wanted to throw out. Do you guys think it was rude of Yolanda? Because remember towards the end of the party, she's like,
bye.
Yeah, she's like, okay, get out,
it's,
you know.
Like, I'm drinking my champagne. But, can I finish my drink?
Yeah, like she kind of abruptly kind of, you know, was kicking everybody out. What did you guys think about that?
It could have been editing, though, again.
True.
It could have just, because they can't have the full, three-hour kumbaya.
I have to say something. That woman, was it Nina? Was that her name? And David Foster was like, she's the one who sang all the
Whitney Houston
Dallas for Whitney. And she's something about Whitney. I didn't like the fact that he put Whitney down. He made like a comment like, she schooled Whitney, or like, she's the one who like kind of... Did you get that part?
I heard it, but I didn't take it that way. The way I took it is I thought he meant maybe she sang, like, once he wrote her songs, Whitney songs, she sang them first. Like, I don't know, as a text or something?
I didn't get that vibe either. I thought he
said something like, she kind of like set the tone for Whitney or something.
I didn't take it that way.
Okay.
I didn't.
I think he meant, you know, when he wrote the song, you need to have a vocal track so that you can sample it to somebody else.
Well, of course.
And if you're writing for Whitney, you need someone that has the vocal range of Whitney. So I think he was just trying to play her up as in she has the pipes like Whitney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
no one can compare.
No one can. That's why I was like, is this guy on crack?
And David Foster, he has the influence in music that if he really thought this woman was a star, he'd make her a star.
Yes.
You know?
Now, do you guys feel like David is a little spaz too at times?
I didn't think he was spaz. And what's very interesting,
like OCD?
Well, I think what's interesting is that the previews for this week's show last week, we kind of got the impression that he was rude and nasty and mean. But actually seeing the show play out, that's not the impression I got of him at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially when Taylor, like, was singing, he's just like, okay, you know, like, I got, like, it made sense. But last week, I feel like with editing, they were trying to paint the picture that he was this bad guy. And I didn't feel that way after watching it last night. What do you guys think?
I don't think so either. I agree. And as soon as Paul said, "Can you change the tone for us for Taylor?" He was like, "Oh, you want to change the tone? Okay, cool."
No, I'm not saying this as an I don't think he's like a nice, warm guy, but I feel like because he's such a genius, he's such an artist, like mm-hmm. his mind is going in so many directions that he's kind of like spastic, no? Like he's not like, "Oh, wait, let me play something for you really quick." And it's like, okay.
Like he doesn't necessarily have like the personal connections maybe that, mm-hmm. you know, some people would initially engage in. I think part of that, though, has to do with being in that world, you know, that people are stabbing you in the back left and right. People
mm-hmm. right.
want to social climb and use you for this and that. And, you know, I'm sure that he's constantly having to meet people, too, right, which he really did forget Taylor's name, I'm sure that's probably why. Like, think about how many people he meets all the time.
No, and I get that. I understand that. But I just kind of feel like, the dinner party was just a little awkward when mm-hmm. maybe it was editing, but I kind of felt like it was rushed. It was like, I think he was like after dinner, he's like, "Oh, I don't think these are my kind of people, but let's just sing a few songs and peace out." And that's how I kind of felt with the editing. It's because it's like Taylor, well, okay, now I know who she is. That's my ex-wife's buddy. And mm-hmm. then it's like, you know, Kim and Kyle and, you know.
Well, and if you think about it, too, it's not like these guys are throwing dinner parties for their friends. They're throwing dinner party for these new people who they really don't know very well.
Networking.
Like, here's Kyle saying, "I mean, I found it to be kind of offensive. My mom used to listen to your music, you know?" Which is basically saying, "You're really old."
I guess, yeah. That could be considered offensive.
An extent, it was a compliment. She grew up around those songs. But to say, "Yeah, my mom loves you," and he kind of played it off like, "Yeah, I'm really big with the over 60s crowd."
He's not that old, though. I mean,
His music, I'm sure when he was really young, he was playing, you know, classical piano, which is...
Yeah.
You know,
his music has stood the test of time. But here's one thing that I wanted to bring up that I almost forgot about. He made it a point of saying, "Oh, Yolanda is such a great housekeeper. She is just wonderful. She knows how to throw together a party. And it's elegant and it's fantastic. And she manages to not make it frou-frou. I don't know why more women can't figure that out." And I'm just like, I don't know how I feel about that comment. What did you guys think about that comment?
I mean, she is pretty Martha Stewart. I mean, she goes into her garden. She picks her own motherfucking flowers. She does her own rose petals. Maybe wife 1, 2, and 3 were like, mm-mm. You know, I mean, who knows?
Well, I feel like it's
easy. She keeps it tight.
I feel like it's easy to go pick your own rose petals and, you know
it's
do
not,
all that shit when you're not working and you're married to a mega millionaire.
I understand that, but I think maybe it's her eye and how she does her centerpieces and, you know, how she puts a floral arrangement together. Maybe mm-hmm. that's what he's talking about. I don't know.
I mean, she kind of looks like she is really a
homebody.
Well, like a no BS kind of a woman, though. Like, she's not gonna settle for less. She demands high standards for everything. Where that comes from, who knows, whether it's her upbringing or her, you know, supermodel lifestyle that she has. But I feel like she's someone who kind of puts him in his place and is also able to still be that feminine, you know, wifey.
I get it. But then again, they've only been married for a year.
Yeah.
True. I don't know. I found myself like thinking like, do I feel like this is a sexist comment or do I, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I found myself thinking about as he said it, you know,
I don't mind those kind of things.
You know? Maybe it's just his past ex-wives were just very opposite and maybe not like the homey, you know, Susie homemaker. And maybe that's why Yolanda is so refreshing for him.
It makes me wonder if he would ever be married to or support a woman who was like a career woman. Not that she would ever need to be married to him, but I just wonder that.
I mean, how do we know none of his ex-wives were?
We don't know.
So,
you know, I don't know.
I mean, they seem happy, so whatever floats that household's mm-hmm. boat, it's, you know.
True that.
And also, it seems like, for him, I think the wife at home, though, works better because he does a lot of work at home. You mm-hmm. see him in his home studio.
True.
He's there a lot. Mm-hmm. He wants that sort of companionship.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessarily that he would have anything against a female being a professional, but I think he lives a lifestyle where he travels a lot. He's going all over the world. He has performances all the time. He's on red carpets all the time. He's, you know, making music at all hours of the day, and I think mm-hmm. he just wants someone who's able to share that with him.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I like that. All right, I think it's time for a little news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay. So we kind of touched on this before in our recap, but it seems like Taylor does have a true drinking problem. And this season, we see the cast has a little intervention with her. And it was also...
Which won't be the first time.
About her drinking?
Because they they haven't necessarily done intervention style. Mm-hmm. But if you remember when they went to Adrian's Camille's cabin, I'm sorry. They all approached her and said, look, you're taking over the top. Granted, that was when she was still having marriage trouble.
Exactly.
It wasn't after everything with Russell happened. But, I mean, there is no denying. I understand they go in limos everywhere, so at least they're not behind the wheel. And unfortunately, I think in her mind, she thinks, oh, I'm in a limo. Well, I don't have to drive.
No, listen.
But listen,
I've had the, privilege not to be filmed when I'm drunk, and I can act a hot mess as well. And, you know, this is something I could relate to Taylor because I have lost someone very close to me to death. And... And, you know, I think it's only been like a year since Russell's suicide. Now, my friend's death was not a suicide, but it didn't affect me until like 9 months to a year later where I thought I was okay. But then I started getting a lot of anxiety and I would, you know, and the way I took it was I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to see anybody. So I think like maybe she has postpartum depression.
Okay.
So, I mean, if there is an intervention, I hope it's not to be like, haha, you're a drunk hot mess. I hope it's because, you know what, you really need help. Because, honestly, what has she really done? I mean, we've seen that she's moved to a different house.
Right.
She's got more plastic surgery. Mm-hmm. But what has she done emotionally and mentally?
Well, that we don't know. That remains to be
seen. I'm hoping that the girls get through to her.
Well, and we have to remember, too, that, you know, she has a daughter.
Right.
Which is a little, you know... not that your experience is any less painful any means.
She has a daughter. She's responsible for someone.
Exactly. She's responsible for someone who's very young, who's in their key developmental stages, and needs that mom, which doesn't have that other person. And
right. Well, it's funny. The blog that I was reading about this also mentioned that at Portia, Kyle's daughter, Portia's birthday, that they were saying that she showed up a little tipsy at her birthday. So that's something I don't think that we even caught necessarily when we're watching the episode, but it's something that the blog brought up. So that's going to be an interesting story to watch. I think we're going to see that unfold as the season, continues. Let's talk about predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, we see Lisa and Adrian finally meeting up to have the conversation.
One thing I forgot to mention is that, so Lisa and Adrian both want apologies, right? And up until this episode, I really didn't think that Lisa should be giving Adrian an apology at all. But then I think we finally see what really rubbed Adrian the wrong way, which is so stupid and petty. But she's upset because she kept on referring to her dog as Crackpot.
No.
And she made fun of the shoe line, which is kind of funny because Lisa made a shoe line with that same company as well.
We'll see. Okay, here's my take on that. If that's really why Adrian is thinking she's entitled to an apology, that's bullshit. Because at the end of the day, we all know Lisa's sense of humor. She's got a very cheeky British sense of humor. And when she made the joke about the dog and the shoes, give me a break. As strong as Adrian is, if she's going to let something like that bother her, screw her and move on.
Yes.
But what I thought was interesting is that obviously we got teased this episode because we didn't really get to see their sit down. But just judging from their body language, just about the whole lunch.
Listen, these are two powerful women. These are two very strong personalities, strong-willed women, and they're both like, okay, you have 10 seconds. Are you going to apologize? Or okay, no, bye. And you can tell that they're waiting for the other to make the first move.
Right.
Now, with that, what you just said, I mean, they both take little digs at each other, but that's, I think, like, they have
it's part of some friendship.
Competition with
it
each
is.
Other.
You know, it being is. Able to make fun of someone, to me, that's a token of affection. At least among the three of us.
Yes.
I will say I am Team Lisa. I totally support her. I don't think Adrian deserves an apology, and I don't think Adrian is going to apologize, or at least not sincerely. So what do you guys think?
I don't think either one of them are going to apologize sincerely because I don't think they would apologize for something that they're not sorry for. Lisa's not going to apologize for her sense of humor, and Adrian is legitimately convinced that Lisa sells stories. And, you'd think that by now they would realize that you don't really sell stories. You sell pictures, you sell videos, but in terms of stories,
Lisa, Lisa doesn't need to do that.
Right, so. That too. And Lisa's been friends. They're in Beverly Hills. They're friends with all the people that are involved in the media, and that's just part of who they are. That doesn't mean that they're gonna reveal. I don't know. There's a fine line. It's
okay.
It's silly.
Team
stupid.
Lisa or Team Adrian?
Team Lisa.
Susan.
Team Lisa.
Do you think that Adrian is going to step up to the plate and apologize?
I think that Lisa is going to. I know that Lisa's not going to walk away easy. I think Lisa's going to be like, this is why you should apologize. Whether Adrian does mm-hmm. actually go forward with it, that's a different story. But I think Lisa's going to let it known. Yes.
It'll be an apology like when they had their little riff with the Planet Hollywood thing mm-hmm.
For her daughter.
For Pandora's bachelorette party. I think it'll be like that. The eyes down, looking around, and then they keep on trying to bring things up, and then...
I'm sorry.
Well, you can tell these, but you can tell these two women. They have some beef among each other. Like they definitely have tension. Those two have,
and they're also very similar.
Yes,
which I think why they do clash heads so much. They're very similar. They're
I wonder women. If Adrian will have to eat a piece of humble pie when her and Paul start having their issues, which we're all going to see fall down on camera, because that's going to be a time when she really needs her girlfriends. And granted, who knows how close these women really are to her, but I know that she is Kennedy's godmother, for example, and, these women really do hang out in real life, and that at one point they were all very close. Her and Lisa were very close, so...
On that note,
speaking of pie,
I think Jax had an opinion on that. Yeah. I think we're done, you guys.
Yeah.
And really
quickly, I just wanted to let you guys know, for all of you in the United States, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. So we want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving.
And a
safe Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much turkey. And again, we love that you watch us. Make sure to rate us, download the show for free, make your comments, and we will see you guys next week for another great recap, right?
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful recap. We can't wait.
Yep. Let's go around really quickly. Where can we find you, Giselle?
You can find me at Giselle Ugardi. I also have fun beauty and fashion blogs on youtube.com/sprintingstilettosTV. I'll be uploading a new one before Thanksgiving, so you can catch me there.
And I'm Susan Hahn. You guys can follow me on Twitter at It's Susan Hahn and at Instagram at It's Susan Hahn.
And I am Deanna Vaughn. You guys can find me on Twitter at GoToGirlTV. That's G-O, the number 2, Girl TV. And you can also find me on YouTube
on
the Stylish channel with the show called The Stylish Finds. All right, you guys. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.